Hey, I'm Sherry.
And I'm Marty.
Tired of hearing bad news everywhere you turn? Well, we are.
We're taking a little journey back to simpler times. Come along for the ride as we share some of our fun childhood memories. Might even jog some of your memories, too.
I don't know, Marty. My memory lane is like a cul-de-sac these days.
Hey, that is not going to stop us. Come join us for
Just Jiggle the Handle.
So, did you have any strange ideas when you were little that now you realize were strange?
I do, as a matter of fact. And I don't know. Somebody must have planted this seed, an older person, like probably my crazy Uncle Rick or someone. But my sister, I may have mentioned before, she is 5 years older than I. And so any wacky things, she would have the idea for it, but then I would hop on board. So we were told, or we thought, I don't know how we came up with the concept or the idea that this could even be done, but that we could dig to China from our backyard.
I think all kids thought that at some point.
Oh, really?
I think so. Because when we were at the beach, we would try to get there, you know, because the sand was easier to dig.
So I wonder if that was something left over from the 40s or the 50s. Some, I don't know, mean aunt or uncle decided to spread that rumor and it went across the country. So here I was thinking it was so unique. And we were convinced we were going to do it. And I think we had spoons, you know, and we got in trouble because we used my mom's good spoon, you know, the big tablespoons. But we did it. I mean,
but
we didn't.
Older sister believed it too.
Well, she would have been 10. You know,
well, yeah,
and so that's prime. I mean, if you're going to do something, you should do it when you're 10, right? I mean, you've got these great ideas, but I went right along with it. And, and I don't remember. I think we got in trouble, but we also didn't get very far. You know, we probably dug about 6 inches and then we were done with it. But
and you dug in the backyard?
Yeah. And that was acceptable. So, but we were convinced and I didn't. I mean, of course, I had nothing, no scientific anything to back me up, but everybody knows China's below you, right?
Yeah. How far can it be? I mean, you know, really.
I know. So, yeah. So that was my big one. I'm very disappointed that you were like, oh, yeah, we all thought that. Because I thought it was like I was pulling out some gem. I have another one, but I'm gonna hang on to that. I wanna savor the China digging story.
You know, I wonder, do you think that possibly parents started that rumor, you know, just so that the kids would dig holes that then they could plant plants in and, you know, they could save a little time?
Could be. That would not have been the case in our family. It would probably be, let's get rid of the kids. Let's give them something to do. And that'll keep them busy for a few hours. But, you know, but I don't remember ever having a, hey, wait a minute moment.
No.
You know, this can't, this isn't right. It was just like, yeah, you know, we dealt in absolutes.
No, it's just a matter of distance you know.
But somebody,
of course, I did get a little confused when I went to a subway station and, you know, when I was older and went, wow, this goes down pretty deep, but I'm not seeing that many Chinese people.
See, I don't even, how old were you when you thought that?
27. No, I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, at least you had the concept that something could happen underground. I'd never seen a subway. So.
And I'm wondering if maybe when we went to the World's Fair, possibly we went by some, maybe that's where I saw these, you know, I'm thinking, boy, I'm not going to dig this deep. I got to forget that idea.
All right. Well, how about you? Tell me something.
Well, I read a lot as a child. In first grade, I read 100 books.
Literally 100 books?
Literally 100 books. I won a prize for reading the most books in first grade and got this huge volume about Winnie the Pooh. I mean, it was massive. And I read that too that summer, which is crazy because it was a big book.
And that's so weird that you weren't good at sports.
Yeah. I kind of had to hide in my reading so that nobody would ask me to hit them.
No, maybe you weren't good at sports because you were reading and learning all the time.
Well, yeah.
You need to be outside with the rest of us eating dirt and running around and skinning your knee. That's what you needed to do.
Well, anyway, I read a lot of books and got very, and I think I told you that we would collect RC bottle caps and take all the kids in the neighborhood to movies. There was this theater in the summertime that would show a movie. And I always went to every science fiction movie. I loved science fiction and read a lot of science fiction books. Probably by third grade, I was reading Ray Bradbury, and I would collect the Alfred Hitchcock collections of stories and read those. I would either check them out at the library or find them at yard sales. And I would read a lot of science fiction. And some story was about robots and how these robots were so well crafted that normal humans couldn't tell the difference. And I got it in my head that it was very possible that my parents were robots. Very good robots. I mean, really good and convincing, but not to be trusted.
Wow.
Yeah, it took me.
And how old were you? 8?
Well, I'm trying to remember how old I would have been, but maybe around 8. Yeah. Took me a while to get over that.
And did you ever let on that? I mean, if you were worried that you couldn't trust your parents because they were robots, then did they ever know that you thought that they were robots, or you had to?
No, because then they would have probably had to kill me if they were robots.
Right.
So I think I kept it to myself. What pressure for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a
to this, I don't think, I'm pretty sure they were not robots. Pretty sure. But at that age, I wasn't going to take a chance. And that belief lasted for a while.
So we lived in California. We lived in Los Angeles. And I got this idea in my head that if there were a tidal wave, we would die. And I was terrified of that. And there were a huge range of mountains between us and the ocean. And we weren't close to the ocean. Really. I mean, I don't know how many miles, but we weren't close to it. But I remember there was an episode of Family Affair. And, you know, remember they lived in New York in this big high rise, but the kids had heard somebody in the elevator talking that there might be a tsunami or something. And that Buffy and Jody got really afraid of it. So that's probably where I got the idea, but I was terrified. And my mother, of course, was not, she'd laughed, and which is the worst thing you can do when you're a terrified little kid. But I said, well, what would we do? Because, you know, Buffy and Jody lived in this giant high rise. They were going to be safe, but we lived in a house, in a single story house. And I remember my mom saying, Sherry, here's the thing. We're not going to have a tidal wave, but if we do, it would have to be so huge, you won't even know what hit you.
And how comforting.
And somehow, you know, of course I was even more terrified, and she couldn't really understand that, you know, because it was so ridiculous that it was going to happen. But to this little kid, I mean, it could happen.
Well, now you look at climate change and potential flood maps, and if I were a kid, I'd be rightfully scared.
Yeah. Well, I was ahead of my time, but you know, I mean, Mr. French was worried about it. You know, and he was an adult. He was a grown up. So,
sure.
You know.
And he had that accent, so he must know what he's talking about.
That's right. Yeah. He had a top hat in the middle of New York. So,
who wouldn't believe him?
That's right.
Well, you know, you talk about living in Los Angeles. I was in Lynchburg, Virginia. But as I told you, I loved the movies and would go to, you know, all the science fiction movies and anything that was playing in the summertime at the Paramount Theater, which later became a porn theater, by the way, not while we were watching our movies there. But when I tell people I went there to watch movies in the summertime, I would get weird looks later on. But I just loved the movies and had crushes on some of the movie stars, you know, like Luke Halpin from Flipper, mm-hmm. or TV shows. He was the star of Flipper. I also thought I wanted to be Haley Mills when I was a kid, because I watched the Pollyanna and the, you know, all the Parent Trap and all that stuff. And just, I wanted to be Haley Mills because I was doing a lot of acting by that time, you know, even in the first grade. I was, as we remember, I got to play the sun in the solar system. And, you know, so I would swing on the swings, and we had woods behind our house. And I believed or dreamed or fantasized that the movie stars that I was so enamored of were in our woods watching me. So I had to swing very prettily and very gracefully because they were watching me.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, all right, so later on in life, I mentioned Luke Halpin and Haley Mills, who were in my woods. unbeknownst to them. Later on, when I worked in the movie industry, I worked on a movie in Florida, and there was this guy who did special effects on this movie named Luke Halpin. I went, wow, that's really cool. I used to have a crush on Luke Halpin, who was in Flipper, and the guys around him said, that's him.
No way.
He works in special effects now. So I got to meet Luke Halpin, and I said, oh my God, I was so in love with you. And he just looked at me and said, oh, too bad you're not the production manager. The production manager is in charge of the budgets for his department, you know, and when he needed equipment and supplies, he had to go ask the production manager. If only the UPM had been in love with him, maybe he would have gotten the equipment he needed.
Oh, wow.
But that was funny. But he was a chain smoker, so it's probably just as well
it wasn't going to work out. Yeah.
But, oh, and Haley Mills, when I worked on Amazing Stories, Haley Mills was going to be in one of the episodes. And I, as I say, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Haley Mills. And I just could not wait to work with her. And she was flying in from wherever. And the day before, we had to light the set because she was doing an episode with these life-size puppets. And the puppeteers had to all be hidden out of view. And we had to light the whole set. And the camera was going to be going through the whole house. So they had to do this whole pre-rig the day before we were shooting her episode. And I was put in charge of watching the set and, you know, being the contact liaison in case the crew needed anything, you know, just to be in contact with the head office and be kind of the person on the set. Well, the crew lit the set and we're working out a lot of the mechanics. And at the end of the day, the cameraman wanted somebody to walk through where Haley Mills was going to be walking through just to check the lights and the shadows. And he turned to me and said, Marty, could you be Haley Mills? And I thought, my lifelong dream had come true. And I said, yes, yes. And I walked through and I got, I worked with her the next day and said, I wanted to be you when I grew up. And she just looked at me and she just said, you're much too young. I went, well, obviously not. Because she was much older.
But I wanted her to be excited. I want Luke to be excited, but they.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of my Jill Clayburgh story. Everybody used to say I looked like Jill Clayburgh. I literally had 50 people when I was in college, when one of her movies came out, 50 people in 1 month said, you know who you look like? And then I finally met Jill Clayburgh and said, I have had so many people tell me I look like you. I've always wanted to meet you. And she just looked at me and went, huh. And that was the end of that. So yeah, I'm realizing that my dreams and fantasies from my childhood were kind of didn't live up to themselves.
Yeah, they were dashed.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's better to not meet your crushes, I guess.
But yeah, I think you're right.
Did you watch The Partridge Family when you were
Yeah, sure.
So I mean, it was based on a real family, which was, I believe the Cowsills is what it was based on. But I thought we should do it in our family. And my dad wasn't really around, and which, you know, Shirley Partridge's husband was, I don't even know if we ever knew if he had passed on or left them in the lurch or what, I don't know. I thought, I've got my mom and I've got my two sisters, and we'll have to figure out how to put the rest of the band together. And my mother was just, that's just ridiculous, you know. And it's the 60s, or did it come out in the 60s or early 70s?
I think it might have been the 60s.
We'll have to do some
another Google search.
Yeah, we'll have to look at that. But anyhow, my mother just, we didn't even get to make our case. She's just like, there's no way I can't sing, I can't do this, you know. And then she threw in, we don't have a bus, and, you know, she kind of quickly poo-pooed it. So my sister Debbie and I, and it was probably more Debbie than myself, but we decided we were going to make our own band. And then we got our cousins together. We had two girl cousins, and we were going to, you know, our garage was a shambles, but we cleaned out the garage. We asked if we could do that. My mom went, yeah, I don't care, dude. You know, we're cleaning the garage for her, but we were going to put the band together. And none of us, knew how to, or knew we knew how to sing, if, and none of us played any instruments. So, and we wanted to be the Partridge Family so badly that we simply brought our record player out to the garage and we would sing to the record. And we would take turns playing the different parts. And we called ourselves the Bookends because there were four of us and, you know, two on one side, two on the other. But we did, you know, choreography and we were sure, we were sure we were going to hit it big. We just didn't know how we were going to get somebody to see us because we were in the garage and we didn't know how we were going to, and we didn't record anything either. So we had like this great idea, but absolutely no way to facilitate it. And so the Bookends came and went, but the next time I see you, I will show you some of the moves that we did because they were pretty smart. Yeah. But it didn't occur to us that it couldn't happen. And there were all different ages of us cousins. So, you know, once again, it was one of those, well, these older kids think it, we could do it. Of course we can. So, and then in the end, I decided it didn't matter because David Cassidy, you know, I was in love with him, but he was so much older than myself. And, you know, little did I know that later on in life, I would have been the perfect age for him, you know, but anyway.
I'm so impressed that y'all put that together, that all four of you were game and really tried to put it together. And I might mention for our listening audience that you and Debbie both ended up singing in four-part harmony a cappella groups in your later years. So there was something growing there.
That's true. And the reason that you know this, Marty, is
because we are in Sweet Adeline's.
That's right.
And that's how we know each other.
That's right. That's right.
And one day, I know that they are begging to hear us sing. But the problem is Sherry sings bass and I sing baritone. And together, individually and separately, that would sound like music for insane people because there's no melody whatsoever. And in those parts, we round out the sound, but you would not think that we were singers to hear the sounds that we would be singing.
Right.
It only works with two other parts.
Yeah. So,
but thanks for asking, you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you explained it. So this is a good setup if we ever have guests on and we can.
Yeah, like maybe two others.
Yeah, that might sing tenor and lead. But anyway, we digress that. But
yes.
But yeah, music was, it was going to happen, but it didn't. So, but I can even,
Well, not then. Now you're famous.
Yeah, but it was.
And might I just say that you were in a quartet that opened for Jay Leno in Vegas, wasn't
it? What is this? The name of the podcast is going to be called Retro Plugs. It was in Laughlin, Nevada. Yeah.
Well, they just need to know that dreams do come true.
That's right.
I mean, for all you kiddies listening out there, don't
keep digging. Know. China is just just a heartbeat
just around
away.
The corner.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, but it's fun. I wish we could have more of that element as adults where something isn't too crazy. You know, like, yeah, let's just do it. I mean, there's so many things are stopped because it seems ridiculous, but.
Hey, I moved from Lynchburg, Virginia without any experience in film whatsoever and ended up having a career in film. So it is possible.
Right.
Anything's possible.
It is. It is.
As long as you're above ground and not below it, there's still time.
Wow. And you went right back to the China thing. Below the ground. You really wrapped that up. That was a great segment.
Now that we've got bigger tools to dig, too.
That's,
it could happen.
It could happen. Yes. Dream big, kids.
Or we could take a plane.
Yeah. Did you ever think you were going to fly, be able to fly when you were little? Like that could be a possibility?
I guess not. Did you?
I did. And I think I had dreams about it, which is why it seemed so real. Mm. And I think I may have mentioned it to my mom or dad that just said, do not try to do that.
Do not do this at home.
Do not try this at home or anywhere. Yeah. But I remember that. I remember the feeling of flying. Mm. But I thought it seemed plausible to me.
And where would you fly to?
I don't know. I wouldn't leave my neighborhood, probably. I'm like a real bird. You know, they don't go very far from their nest. So... Yeah, I think I just get out and flap my wings a little bit and see what it's about. Now, here's another weird one that completely made sense to me when I was a little kid, but you'll know why it doesn't make sense. So in Los Angeles, Van Nuys Boulevard in particular is lined with palm trees, and they all are the same height. And I thought in order for that to happen, what they had to do back in the day, whenever they were planted, is they would dig all the holes all the way up and down Van Nuys Boulevard. And then they would line people up in front of each hole and each person would plant the seed at the exact same time. And that's how the palm trees all got to be the same height on Van Nuys Boulevard. Thank you very much. That's the kind of genius you're working with here, sister.
Did you have another story?
No, I think I've already killed the franchise.
Because this one's pretty major. Talking about weird ideas we had as kids. My brother and sister were both adopted. When I was 2 years old, my parents left me with the babysitter and they drove off and they brought home this adorable little bouncy girl who was then my sister. And 2 years later, we all piled in the car and we drove away and picked up my brother, who was almost a year old at that point. So I had no idea where babies came from. I thought you get in the car, you drive, you pick one up, come on. And it got worse because I asked my mom, I said, where do babies come from? But my parents were very conservative and not necessarily too forthcoming with any information about sex. And I said, where do babies come from? And she just, the only answer I got at the time was, I was 6 years old. She said, well, one day you'll fall in love and then you'll have a baby, which was supposed to comfort me. Probably it traumatized me because I, as you recall, was in love with Dickie Booker.
Dickie Booker. Yes.
I was way too young to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what to do with that. But at any rate, I never got any more information whatsoever about where babies came from until sixth grade, when in health class, they showed us a film about birth. And I was absolutely traumatized. It shook me. And I think that's probably why I've never had kids to this day.
Wait, it was a book. It was a movie on birth,
childbirth in sixth grade. Yeah,
because we had in sixth grade just about your period, about becoming a woman,
no,
and that whole thing.
This was about having babies.
Oh my Lord!
And I had absolutely no idea whatsoever I mean, sixth grade, that's pretty late.
That was like scared straight before its time. I mean, that was
But you know, I think that I possibly went into film. I saw the power of filmmaking right there. And I think I went into film so that I could similarly traumatize young children myself. So it was good motivation for a lot of things.
Absolutely. Boy, I wonder if that was it must have been a planned thing to scare sixth graders that are...
It worked.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you, Marty, but...
It all worked out. No, really. It's all worked out.
I wonder how many therapists got some job security out of that when the kids got a little older.
Well, and it's very possible that the other kids in my class already knew that. I just, you know, it was more than just getting in a car and going picking up babies.
Yeah. But that does sound much cleaner and more efficient.
It worked for us. Yeah.
So your parents didn't... Well, obviously, you were little. They wouldn't have told you, hey, we're going to go get a baby brother today, or we're going to adopt, or did you have, I mean, you literally went in the car and came home like.
No, we knew they were going to get it.
It was like, hey, let's
go
get a dozen donuts and a baby. It wasn't like that. I mean, you.
No, it was planned. Okay. We kind of knew what was coming. All right. And we were excited about this, you know, picking up this little baby boy.
Very interesting. Because
he was, you know.
Yeah. That's terrifying and a lovely story, Marty. I don't have anything to top that.
Well, that's good because I've run out of things that I remember about strange ideas, although I'm sure I had many others.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have nightmares tonight trying to, when things come back to me, that I...
Keep the therapist number handy.
That's right.
Well, now that you know how crazy we were as kids, we want to hear your strange ideas you had growing up.
Our Just Jiggle the Handle Facebook page awaits your stories.
Subscribe to us because we have lots more crazy ideas to come at
Just Jiggle the Handle.